Grace and peace be unto you, and from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Psalms, Psalm 72, verses 8 to 14. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. So far, sermon text. In Christ Jesus, the King of Kings, dear fellow redeemed, most of us know that King Solomon prayed for wisdom in order to be a great king, to the glory of God and for the welfare of his people, of his nation, Israel. And God blessed him with great wisdom, understanding, so that God said to him, I have given you such a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. Amazing. Solomon used that wisdom to be a great king. But he also was a prophet. He also wrote several books of the Bible. He wrote the Book of Wisdom, Proverbs. He wrote Ecclesiastes. He wrote Song of Solomon. This morning, however, as we close out the Epiphany season and get ready for the season of Lent, we are studying one of the two Psalms that Solomon also wrote. He wrote Psalm 72 and Psalm 127. Psalm 72 is called a Messianic Psalm. That means it speaks of the Messiah in prophecy. There are 17 Messianic Psalms in our Bible. These Psalms talk about the Messiah who's to come. And Jesus said that. Jesus testified in Luke chapter 24, verse 44, that he's been written about in the Old Testament. He said to his disciples, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Jesus said those words just before he ascended into heaven. In the very next line, we're told, then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. The only scriptures that those disciples had at that time were the books of the Old Testament. And so now as Jesus is ascending to heaven and his visible presence will no longer be with them, he's opening their hearts and minds to the Holy Spirit for them to understand that in the Old Testament, there's 39 books of the Old Testament, Jesus is found. Psalms, prophets, books of Moses. And so this morning we too pray that the Lord send the Holy Spirit to open our hearts and our minds as we look at Psalm 72 and see the Messiah, our Savior, and how his life and death and resurrection applies to every one of our lives. These Messianic Psalms prophesied the coming Messiah, the Savior who would come. They tell a lot about the Messiah's life. Some of the Messianic Psalms talk about his person and his work, some about his birth and his betrayal, some about his suffering, his death and his burial, some about his resurrection from the dead, some about his ascension to heaven. And this psalm, Psalm 72, talks about Jesus ruling over mankind with righteousness and perfect peace. As we said in our first scripture reading earlier this morning, we read the first section, verses 1 through 7 of this psalm, and the last section, verses 15 to 20 of this psalm. Verses 1 through 7 talk about the chief benefits of Christ's kingdom. Righteousness, being perfect in God's eyes because of Jesus, and peace. The last section talks about the length of his kingdom. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It'll last forever. The middle section talks about the extent of his kingdom. It extends over the whole earth. The time that Solomon wrote this psalm, the children of Israel had reached its climax, its highest point. All the surrounding heathen nations had been conquered. There was perfect peace like never before or since then. The land flowed with prosperity, with blessings, with riches. We're told every Israelite dwelt in his own land under his own fig tree. And at that time, as Solomon writes this psalm, the Holy Spirit gave to Solomon the ability to see into the future, to see into the future 1,000 years, and to see a kingdom that was even greater than his, a kingdom more glorious, more grand, more large, and eternal. He got to see the kingdom of the Messiah King, the Messiah who was to come. And that's why in this psalm, King Solomon sings praise to the Messiah King for his greater blessings and for the glory of his reign. So as we look at these verses again, we see that this kingdom that the Messiah should rule over is more than just a kingdom over one nation. It's a kingdom over all the world. We read in verse 8, "He, Messiah, shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." At the height of Israel's kingdom, we are told that the kingdom of Solomon stretched from the river to the sea. What they meant was the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. But this king, his extent of the kingdom will be from the river to the ends of the earth, from sea to sea. That doesn't mean Mediterranean to the Black Sea or Atlantic to the Pacific. It means all around the world. The earth is surrounded by waters, bodies of water, and is bordered by the sea. And so this king will have dominion over every nation. He won't be just a national king. He'll be an international king, a worldwide monarch who rules over all people. Because of that fact, we've also seen the fulfillment of the next verses, 9 to 11. "Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The kings of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him." Solomon used some very colorful language here in describing who's going to come into this Messiah's kingdom. He says, those who dwell in the wilderness. We think of people maybe in Africa, or the Native Americans of North America, or the people in South America, the people on islands in the sea. What do we see today? We see that many of those people, even in deepest, darkest Africa, now are proclaiming praise to Jesus Christ. People in the islands have given up their sun gods, their moon gods, their volcano gods, their sea gods, and are worshiping Jesus as Lord and Savior. They've come to know the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the triune God of our salvation. While the enemies of the gospel are still strong and are powerful, what do we say here? They will lick the dust before their Lord and their King. That means they cannot stop the spread of the gospel. Just the other day, I was talking to Ruth and said, "This is amazing how this little teeny virus that started in China, the COVID, has gone around the whole world. And even on little islands that are separated from where people just got it. Antarctica even's got it." That's because the virus spreads. Well, this is even more amazing in a positive way, that God's word, starting there in Jerusalem with his 12 disciples, has spread around the world so that there are people around the world, in every nation, in every kingdom, every island, all around the world, that now have been brought to faith in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The enemies will be humiliated. They'll be thrown down. The gospel continues to spread from shore to shore, from nation to nation, from people to people, so that not even the gates of hell can prevail against the powerful gospel. And Solomon says, even kings from mighty nations will acknowledge Jesus as their king and as their Lord in loving submission. They'll bring before him gifts. He says, kings from Tarshish, which is the westernmost port that they knew of. Today that's Spain. That's to the west. The Isles of Mediterranean, Crete and Cyprus to the north. To Arabia, the kings of Sheba. In Egypt, the kings of Seba. And so what Solomon is saying, that heathen kings and rulers from all directions, north, south, east, and west, will come before the king with gifts of tribute and love, obedience, service, worship, thanksgiving, and submission through hearts of faith. They shall pay homage to Jesus, no matter how powerful they may be on this earth, Jesus as their king and their Lord. They'll bow down before him and worship him as their Savior and God. Isn't it a beautiful message to know that not only we believers here at Peace of Christ, not only believers in Madison or in Wisconsin or in America have been chosen, but believers all around the world have been chosen to be God's people through faith in Christ Jesus. And he's still bringing more and more every day into his kingdom to the message of salvation that's proclaimed by you and me and others. Christ crucified and risen again saves souls. The last few verses of our text tells us what our Savior has done for us and still does for us. We read, "For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy. He will save the souls of the needy. He'll redeem their life from oppression and violence. And precious shall be their blood in his sight." King Jesus will rescue the poor and needy. King Jesus will have compassion upon those who are helpless, who cry out for deliverance. King Jesus will redeem those who are oppressed. Isn't that a perfect picture of all of us spiritually? On our own, without Christ, dead in sins, unbelievers. We need Jesus. We need Jesus to save us. We need Jesus to give us his forgiveness and life and salvation worked in our hearts through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're under the rule and dominion of the prince of the world, Satan, under our own sinful flesh, spiritual poverty, slavery of sins. But our Savior King has come to us as one of us and has stooped down to lift us up, miserable, lost creatures that we were, and set us free. To give us the needed help, the needed deliverance, the needed salvation. What amazing grace and love and mercy we see in this King. Jesus set us free from sin, death, the power of the devil, by becoming captive himself. He forfeited his own life so we might have life everlasting and be redeemed from all of our enemies. He laid down his life so that we would have eternal life with him. He gave up his throne in heaven so that we would all have thrones in our heavenly home. He shed his blood on the cross, paid for the price of all of our sins, so that we would be released from the captivity of sin and death, hell, and Satan. And now today he listens every day to your cries, my cries, to our prayers. He meets our daily needs, provides for our physical and eternal welfare. Our King promises you, call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you. Our King Jesus says to you, I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness, because I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, it may happen. At times, it has happened that Jesus' own have had to shed their blood for his kingdom. We think of Stephen, the first martyr in the New Testament, and James, the brother of John, who is the first of the apostles to be martyred. And we're told, historically, all the apostles were martyred except for the apostle John, who died of old age in his 90s. We think of the Old Testament prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, who were mistreated so badly for proclaiming the gospel of the Messiah who was to come. Their blood is indeed precious to their king. And through the shedding of their own blood, he redeemed them and spared them from the veil of tears here in this earth to take them up to his heavenly home, an everlasting kingdom of peace and righteousness and joy. In fact, the Lord says again in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. In other words, saints there mean his called out ones, his ones who have been chosen for him. Precious in God's eyes is the death of every single believer in Jesus. In Revelation 14, 11, we're told, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. All of this Solomon saw with eyes of faith 1,000 years before it even happened. And all of this we too have seen with eyes of faith 2,000 years after it has happened, and it still is happening today. Today we see the gospel being spread around the world from island to island, from shore to shore, from land to land, from country to country, from people to people, so that nothing can stop the good news of Christ crucified and risen again. Solomon saw it. What do? He went to the temple and he praised God and wrote this psalm of prayer and praise to his king. Imagine, the king Solomon, one of the greatest kings in the world. And yet, he submitted himself to King Jesus, the Messiah King. May we do the same. Humble ourselves. And as members of his kingdom, come into his house. Sing praises to our Savior Jesus Christ and serve him. Lay before him our troubles, our cares, our worries, our concerns. Lay before him our time, our talents, our energies, our offerings. And if need be, even shed our blood for him, because he gave his all for us. His perfect life as full payment for my sins and your sins. Blessed be his glorious name. Amen and amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.